Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Grace shalom, and peace.
Shalom, shalom, Shabbat shalom, Israelite. Grace and peace in Jesus. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Ray.
Shabbat shalom, King Priest. Shabbat shalom, family.
Shalom, Sister Shemaya, if you're online. Online?
Shabbat.
Shemaya? Scrolling down. Sometimes she works on Friday. I don't see her.
Always say Shabbat Shalom to Shemaya when she listens to it. When she listens to the lesson later, we can she'll still hear her saying Shabbat Shalom.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Israelite. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the Sabbath, man.
Amen.
Once again, we want Sabbath closer to the real one. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters of Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. And here with me is the one and only and beautiful real as she is, Rhea Serene Israel. Shabbat Shalom, Queen.
Oh, Shabbat Shalom, King Priest. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. I do Shabbat. Yeah. Just a little messed up. Well, tonight we're dealing with, well, we've been dealing with the baptism, you know, like the last month or so. And one thing John said to the people before they got baptized is to what?
Repent.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know what? Some of us don't know how to repent. Some of us don't really never really looked at how it is that a man or a woman of God, according to the scriptures, learn how to repent before God. Because we don't know. See, the thing is, you have to be drawn to the Lord in order to repent. You can't repent if you don't know God. So a lot of us never even thought about repenting. So we have to learn.
Amen.
And so the Lord got a lot of examples. So how to approach Him. You just can't come to Him any kind of way. He the Most High. He's a dangerous, he's a great and terrible king. So we better know how to approach Him. We better understand His power and His majesty.
Amen.
You know, that thing, man, His holiness and His righteousness. that's above everything. That's above everything that we can see, the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe, the cosmos, all of that. His glory is above all of that.
Amen.
So he has a way that you have to approach him in order to for him to respond to you.
Amen.
All right? So let's look at that, how to approach the Father. So let's get started now. Sister Ed, we got us a scripture to open up with, and then we'll pray in and we'll get started.
Amen.
Amen.
God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. I read Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we give our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brothers. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessings, because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. Father, have mercy on our children and on our children's children and their children and their families. Father, have mercy and give us the mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us, and give them a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray. Your mercy endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, how to approach the Father. Let's look at that. Let's start this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. Matthew 5 and 1. When you receive it, read.
Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1 reads, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying.
See, he ain't talking to everybody. So Jesus is not that approachable like you think. See that? He taught the disciples separately from the multitude. So everybody think they know God. No, you don't. The Lord give you whatever revelation he give you of himself. But it better testify the scriptures, not what you think. Continue.
Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
See, this is the other thing. You can't hide a spirit of pride and approach God, because that's offensive. That's offensive to him, pride. That's a sin to him, because that's an attribute that he don't carry. So in order for you to be made in his likeness, you have to forsake your pride.
Amen.
And more. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So you have to forsake your pride and become poor in the spirit. This is part of that. This is part of that getting into that repentant spirit. Because this is what you call one, a sin offering, a peace offering. It's a form of a burnt offering, but I think it's more of a peace offering than a sin offering. That the Father and you become one, and that there be peace between you because he removed your sins from you. This is that thing. Continue.
Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
See that? Blessed are they that mourn. What are you mourning for if you got pride? If you got pride, you're not mourning. You testifying of your good. That's contrary. That's not an antidote. Continue.
Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
See, the pride is not going to even be in the kingdom. The proud, or the proudful, or the prideful. So decide, you know, all this pride of life and all this old nonsense, everybody's performing, it won't even see the borders. This is that thing. So he said the meek is going to inherit the earth. Well, that's contrary to the spirit of pride, too. See that?
Amen.
See all these things that the Lord is telling us, that's direct contradiction of what the spirit of pride is. So he's letting us know flat out that the spirit of pride will not see the kingdom. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 1. You see, what you're doing is you're asking the Lord to have mercy on you, man. You better be sorry. So with all sincerity, this is what they said. You know, they was weeping and they was confessing their sin when John was baptizing them. And they was repenting. This is that. This is what you have to have. Some of us is getting in the water and haven't repented. Ezekiel chapter 9 and 1, when you receive it, read.
Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 1 reads, he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge of the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the chair whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.
See, that's the opposite of pride. They in the city. That's the spirit of intercession. They praying for the people to recover themselves. You know, and all this is going on in the world. They ain't looking at it in a judgmental sense. They really hoping that they recover themselves. Because anything contrary to the commandments of God is mental illness, man. It's flat out. You know, if you're not keeping the law, you out of order. So if you out of order, that means you ain't thinking right. Your head is out of order. Your spirit is out of order. You out of order. Until the law came, you didn't know what order was.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you start keeping the law, you understood the concept of order. But he said this, these men, they mourning for the sins of the world, and this is where we're supposed to be at now. Not pointing out people's sins and not tale-bearing when you know somebody else's fault. That's not what this is saying. He didn't say mark them, did he? He said, mark them that's actually sad for the sins.
Okay.
Continue.
Amen. Verse 5, Ezekiel 9 and 5. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house.
See that? This is that thing. You better know how to approach God or else he'll kill you. You know, you think you're approaching God with your nonsense like, you know, you got it like that before him. He said, no, he said, don't spare nothing. Kill everything that pertains to him, man, woman, and children. Just like that. Because they didn't have that spirit. See that?
Amen.
Let's look at this a little further. No, continue.
Amen. Ezekiel 9 and verse 7. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the flame. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city.
So we got to be careful with that because he said, don't even separate the house. So we got to be really careful now. See that?
Mm-hmm.
We better start doing us some serious praying because the Lord is turning loose the spirits on the wicked. See that?
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't move. He said, no, don't mourn none of that. Slay. If they ain't got the mark on them, then kill them. That's it. Continue.
Amen. Ezekiel 9 and verse 8. And it came to pass while they were slaying them.
They were killing them.
And I was left that I fell upon my
face. He had a mark on him that they saw it. That's that blood. Read on.
That I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And beheld, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me.
See that? We got to be super duper careful, because that's the one that's reporting back. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
There he go. And he said, now I've seen this. He said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. That's the same thing he said about Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. When your sins is, like he said, now be not much over wickedness, lest you die before your time. That's that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you hear this, you would think you'd be in repent mode, right? You'll be in a flip mode. You'll be like, God, have mercy. But your pride won't let you. Because you don't feel like you're not one of these people that need to cry on a God like this. Because you think you're straight. You think you're the ones that got the mark on your head.
Mm.
Who told you that? Romans chapter 7 and verse 7.
Romans 7 and 7.
Yes, ma'am. One verse, Romans 7 and 7, when you receive it, read.
Romans chapter 7 and verse 7 reads, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law.
Now, this is the whole thing. Once you repent, you got to understand what sin is. Sin is transgression of the law, so therefore you can't break the law no more, or you a sinner. That's all to it. It ain't nothing. It ain't no other conversation about it. You break the law, you a sinner, because that's what it is. sin is a transgression of the law. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John 3 and 4, when you receive it, read.
Amen.
1
John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John 3 and 4 reads, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
See, this is what we repented from, sin and breaking the law. This is the whole thing. You know, when you repent, you get baptized and all that stuff, you're saying you're going to stop sinning against the law. That's the idea. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. Let's read that again.
Romans 7 and 7.
Yes, ma'am.
Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. For I have not known lust, except the law hath said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. And by it slew me.
So it's sin that'll kill you. Sinning against the law is what will kill you. So it ain't nothing else. There ain't nobody to blame. You had no, you know, it's no excuses. It's either your sin you're going to die for. That's all to it. And it won't be nothing. Your pride won't save you. You can take that shit to the lake of fire with you. But that's exactly where it's going to end up. All that pride, all that, you know, you think you thought you was doing something. Now you're going to suffer forever for it. Who would want that? This is what we're repenting from. Not again to be entangled into dead works. To repent from sin again. You see that?
Amen.
He don't tell us to sin again. You already repented from dead works. He's talking about don't go back into that you have to lay hold on repentance again of dead works. What do you mean? He said don't even let it be once named among you. How is it that you need to be repenting again? Continue.
Romans 7 and 12. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good.
Now, for those of us that believe that there is no law, well, that there's, if anyone don't even read the Old Testament, well, that there just told you that the law is in effect. That's signed, sealed, and delivered right there. Ain't nothing you could do with that. If the law is good, that means the commandment, then you will be judged by it, so you better keep them. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. Continue.
Romans 7 and 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful.
That's what Adam and Eve, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. Their eyes was open. They saw that sin was exceedingly sin. Oh, well, and then they realize right then and there that is not a place that you want to be before God. That's why they hid themselves. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Galatians chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and 15.
Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15 reads, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit.
See, that's why, you know, you got to pay attention to that. He dwell with him also with a contrite and humble spirit. So both of them have that, right? So therefore, pride is an offense to them, to both of them. I dwell also with him, also of a contrite and a humble spirit. Now, look up the word contrite. Right, contrite.
Mm-hmm.
You see it.
Contrite. Feeling or expressing remorse or penance.
See that? That's the same spirit that he said, mark those. Mark them this morning for the city, right? He said, now you mark them. That's the difference. That's the ones that he's showing mercy to.
Amen.
That's the ones in the law. He don't show mercy to everybody like that. We just saw that because he said, slay men, women, and children that don't have a mark. But you mark them that's here. Guess what? You got the same spirit the Lord has. You got a contrite and a broken spirit. You mourning. You like him. You're the intercessor for the people. Continue.
Amen. Affected by guilt. Remorseful, repentant, regretful, full of regret, sorry, apologetic, self-reproachable, refuel, sheepish, hand dog, ashamed, chastened, shame-faced, conscience-stricken, guilt-ridden, and sackcloth and ashes.
See, that's the spirit you got to have when you approach God. That's the thing when you call yourself getting baptized, that's the spirit you got to have on you.
Amen.
You got to have that sort of mindset on you when you are being baptized. You got to have that sort of change of mind.
Amen.
That was contrite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at humble. Okay? Let's look at humble.
Humble, having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance.
Wait a minute, man, but here it is. God tell you that he's his majesty, man. He evaporate us. But he's not all about himself. You see that? Even though he's the Most High, he's not unapproachable. That's what he's saying. So he can talk to us. He's not approachable. So if you repent and you got the right spirit, you can talk to God and he'll be right there with you.
Amen.
A lot of us don't feel like God will actually take us in when we're talking to him or trying to, you know, get our conversations heard on high. But he's right there. He's telling you that he's near. But you got to approach him with a sincere heart. You can't approach him with your madness. Where are we?
Amen. Meek, respectful.
See that? Look at that thing. The meek shall do what?
Inherit the earth.
That's the spirit. It's going to be contrary to pride, man. Continue.
Submissive, self-effacing, unassertive, unpresuming, modest, unassuming, and what is this? Free from vanity, hiding one's light under a bushel, psychopanic, servile, and resistless.
Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Psalms 34 and verse 16.
Amen. Psalms 34.
Yeah, Psalms 34, verse 16, when you receive it, read.
Psalms 34 and verse 16 reads, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
I told you he'll come near you. I told you he'll be right in your presence. If you have this sort of mindset, he'll be just this close. and you will know it. He'll let you know if you're willing to receive it. But this is that thing. In order to draw this from him, you have to have a contrite and a humble spirit. Exactly.
Amen.
Continue.
Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones.
You know what, man? We shouldn't be worried about nothing.
Say that again.
No, we were talking about it earlier. I said we were doing all that stressing, and then you start laughing. You said, that's right, and the Lord had us every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
We was doing all that stressing. It was something to laugh about.
Yeah.
And there was no concerns. God was with us.
Oh,
you know why?
Right.
You know why?
Why?
Because of his word.
Mm.
Read on.
Psalm 34 and 20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
Amen.
None of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
Exactly. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job chapter 35 and 6. Job 35 and 6. When you receive it, read.
Job 5 and 6.
Yes, ma'am.
Job chapter 35 and verse 6 reads, if thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him?
See, you think you're doing something because you're sinning against God and you got a rebellious spirit. You think that's doing something? You ain't doing nothing. What you think you're doing? Read on.
7. If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand?
Lord, I fast twice a week, and Lord, I do this for you in your name. Da, 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 da. What are you doing for him? Say that conversation for you too. Who you think you, what you think you're doing for God at any time? I mean, do you think you're helping the Almighty? By doing what? Your reasonable service, and that is to keep the commandments. And you doing him a favor. Or what's worse, you're not keeping the commandments. Read on. He said this, what you doing against? Read on.
Job 35 and 8. The wicked, thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art.
See, the only thing that, see, your wickedness will kill somebody else. And if your wickedness can kill somebody else, you better believe the same wickedness that you're performing is going to kill you too.
Amen.
See that? See that? You, the wickedness that you brought, he said, may hurt a man as thou art, the same kind of wicked man. You see that? That's who you really killing. See that? That wickedness may hurt a man as thou art. See that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Who do you think you're sinning against? You're not doing nothing. Period. Right? We don't.
Verse 8. Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of the multitude.
He said, but your righteousness may profit the son of man because you can show the son of man who is the son of man. Exactly. You can really show him the meaning of 666. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job chapter 33 and verse 11. Job 33 and 11. When you receive it, read.
Job Amen. Job chapter 33, verse 11 reads, He putteth my feet in the stocks, He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man.
He said, now, Job is being judged right now. He's saying, he's complaining because he said he put my feet in stocks. Well, he did that with Joseph. So the Lord is going to try you and see if you're worthy of this thing that he called immortality, everlasting life, a crown, a throne, the first resurrection. He'll see if you think you're worthy of it. Read on.
Amen. Verse 13. Why doest thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his masters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. And a dream and a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man.
See that? There it is again. See that spirit? That's the first thing he's going to try to hide. That's what's killing himself. See that? He said that keep his soul. He said that he may withdraw man from his purpose. The man's purpose is to kill himself. Look at what we got. We got weapons. And if we start with the weapons, then mankind is wiped off the earth. We did the thing. That would be the extinction of man if we shoot off the rockets. So we have proposed to kill ourselves. But because God said in Matthew 24, that he's going to bring an end to the tribulation, lest there be no flesh saved, he's going to stop all that madness.
Mm-hmm.
He'll stop all of that. Man's purpose is to kill himself. But God said he is here to save us from ourselves. Then he said this, that he may do what? Have pride for man, because that's the problem. That's the problem. Continue.
Amen. Verse 18. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword.
So that's what he's doing. Because of your pride, he's trying to keep you from getting killed. Read on.
He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhors bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that they were not seen stick out. 22. Yea, his soul draws near into the grave, and his life to the destroyer.
You see that? Now, we've seen people that was drawn, or we've seen people evaporate before our eyes. This is that conversation. You could be evaporating before the Lord spiritually like this. Your spirit, man, could be going away just like that because of sin. Because that's exactly what he's talking about, your spirit, man, right here. Watch this. Read on.
Verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness.
So for every thousand churches you run into, it may be one preacher up in there. One church out of every thousand? No. One preacher out of every thousand preachers that you may meet in your lifetime may be the messenger of God. You see that? Read on.
Amen. Verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter of one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness.
See, this is why we're supposed to be so gracious and so thankful and humbled and gracious and all that before God, because not everybody get that. Nope, not everybody get it. So a lot of us is going to end up in a lake of fire because we didn't appreciate what the Lord gave us. Is it that what happened with the children of Israel in the wilderness? He said, for that now you're not going to enter the Sabbath day. Because we didn't appreciate what he gave us. So we got to learn how to confess our faults and turn away from our wickedness.
Amen.
Read on.
Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom.
There go the blood. There go Jesus' blood right there. He's the ransom. He's the payment for man's sin. There he is right here. Well, oh no, that's Job. He's talking about the book of Job, man. Look, the book is eternal. This same conversation apply to Job and anybody before him and after him. He was the ransom. He's the blood. He's the lamb. There was ransom for Adam and Eve. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's it right here. This is the same ransom, the same payment. Continue.
Job 33 and verse 25. His flesh shall be fresher than a child. He shall return to the days of his youth.
See, when you're baptized, it's like you're a brand new baby.
Amen.
You're like a brand new baby. You squeaky clean. You don't have one sin against you, not even the sin of your thoughts. You haven't even learned how to think again. You have to. All of that is you spanky new.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot sin again. You don't want to get your new car scratched up. You don't want to get it dirty. You brand new. It's like you don't want to drop the baby. It's so new. Hours. This is how we're supposed to handle our salvation. Just like someone handing you a baby that was just born literally minutes ago. That's how we're supposed to be walking before God. Continue.
Verse 26. He shall pray unto God. And he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy.
Read that all over again.
I am. Time for some new glass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, forgive me, everyone. Job 33 and 26. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy. For he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light.
See that? You got to repent. See that?
Mm-hmm.
He looketh upon men, and if Israel say, is that what that said?
Mm-mm.
What did it say?
It says it's any man.
Any man. That's absolute. Any man in the planet, and no matter where you are, you can be an Indian. I mean a real Indian out of India. You know, you could be a Hamite. You could be a European. If any man say that I have sinned and perverted that which is right.
If any say.
Any say. What happened?
Verse 27. He looketh upon man, and if any say I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit. And his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit to be enlightened with the light of the living.
So that don't make you any special than anybody else. He do this all the time, oftentimes with men. He didn't say everywhere, though. He said often. He didn't say
oftentimes.
Right. You see what I'm saying? One is you got men ain't repenting. We full of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Two is, he look upon man, so man, you know, that's you talk about gazillions of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through time.
Oftentimes means frequently or many times, in many instances.
Yeah.
Often, many times, frequently. Okay.
Since the days are out to the last days. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job chapter 13 and verse 20. No, Job 34 and 31.
Amen. Job chapter 34 and verse 31. Surely it is meant to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore.
See that? You got to repent.
Amen.
You see that? Sometimes we'll be knocking on your door. You know it.
Oh, yes.
And he says this. He said, I have borne chastisement, what?
I will not offend anymore.
See, now you know what you said. Firstly, he's going to teach you what you're sinning about. And then you're supposed to repent. You see that? Repent is I will not do what? Offend
mm-hmm.
what? What did it say?
Anymore.
That's repentance.
I will not offend anymore.
That's the spirit of repentance right there. Not to offend anymore. Before you get in that water, you got to have the spirit that you're not going to offend anymore. Because you can't be baptized again. Well,
Job 34 and verse 32.
Continue.
Verse 32. That which I see, not teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more.
See that? Show me what it is that I don't know about myself that's sin. You know, and you got to be willing to accept. Pride won't allow you not to. It is what it is. But he said, you have to learn what it is about you that's offensive. And if you don't know, then you need to ask God. And if he show you, then you're supposed to be humble enough to receive correction.
Amen.
Pride will keep you from receiving correction.
Amen.
But he told you that. He said that he may hide pride from man because pride will get you dead. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job 13 to 20. Job 13 to 20, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Job chapter 13 and verse 20 reads.
Mm-hmm.
Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide my face. I mean, forgive me, babe. I don't even know where I saw the word face.
Mm-hmm.
Job 13 and 20. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee.
See, that's what Adam and Eve did, though. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they hide themselves? Because they what?
Sinned.
They sinned, and their righteousness was gone. Now they feel naked. So now he said, now he's begging him not to put him in that fit that he would not hide himself from God, that he would hide himself from him. If you're in that kind of fear before God that you need to hide from him, you're in trouble. Continue.
Verse 21. Withdraw my hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid.
Mm.
Then.
Let not thy what?
Let not thy dread make me afraid.
Continue.
22. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgressions and my sins.
See, this is the thing. You got to ask God that. You got to ask God to show you your sin, not somebody else's.
Oh, amen. Amen. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin.
Because that's what's going to get you either saved or thrown in a lake of fire. So you need to know about yourself. If you're more concerned about your sins and your iniquities, you're not judging anybody else because you're too busy judging yourself, because that's the law. The book tells you if you judge yourself, you will not be judged because you'll know what judgment is. Because you done put yourself in judgment.
Amen.
Pride won't let you do that. Continue.
Amen.
That's good. Let's go out. Let's go to Psalms 51 and 1.
Psalms 51 and 1?
Yes, ma'am.
Psalms chapter 51 and verse 1 reads, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me."
See, he's not hiding his sin. Like Cain did. That was pride. Cain was like, he said, "Where's your brother?" He said, "I know not." That was pride to put that in him and say that.
Mm-hmm.
"Am I my brother's keeper?" That's the spirit of pride. He got smart with God. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So that puts you in the spirit of Cain's children, when you got the spirit of pride upon you. See that?
Amen.
Continue.
Amen. But where is that?
Verse 5.
Verse 51.
No. Pick it up at 3. Yeah, 4.
Psalms 51 and verse 4.
Yeah, read 3.
Okay. Psalms 51 and 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me."
See, that's what they're confessing before you go into the water. They're confessing what? They what? Sins, exactly. You repenting and confessing your sins before you get in that water. See that? You got to acknowledge them, or you're going to come back up like you didn't did nothing. Read on.
4. "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me."
He's asking a lot, isn't he? Continue.
Verse 11. "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me."
Woo! You see that? God will do that to you?
Take the Holy Spirit.
He would what?
Cast me not
away. No, God would do what to you?
Take the Holy Spirit from me.
Read on.
Okay. "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit."
We're taking him for granted, Jack. We're playing danger games with him taking away his Holy Spirit and filling us up with nothing but devils. Read on.
Verse 13. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee."
See that? See, now once you've been forgiven, you're going to teach people about the salvation of God, because you understand what it means to be forgiven of your sins.
Amen.
So now, you know, Lord, you show me forgiveness, then I can show people how to be forgiven. That's that thing, but that's what Jesus had said when he came back. When he was here on the earth, he said, it was a woman that was a prostitute,
mm-hmm.
and she was washing his feet with her tears in her hair. And one of the Pharisees had asked him, you know, well, he was thinking in his mind, you know, if he knew what kind of woman this was, then he wouldn't, you know, be allowing her to even touch him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Christ can read your brain, right? Mm-hmm. So he asked him a question, you know, and then it was a debt question. And it was about how many, you know, if I was forgiving you for less sins or less what I owe, say you owe me $5, right? I told you, now you go ahead on, right? But somebody else owed me $1,000, and I said, go ahead on. Mm-hmm. Who's going to love me more?
The one that you forgive for $5. No, the thousand.
Exactly.
That's a bigger debt.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. See, some of us don't think we need to be forgiven. We straight.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us don't even feel that need. That's the spirit of Pharisee. Full of judgment. You need to I'm the last person to need to be checked or restored. That's the spirit of the Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of no repentance. And I'm holier than thou, and I dare you to judge me. Who are you? That's what they said to the blind man. Who are you? You know, you was blind from your youth. No, you was blind. What was you cursed? They judged them. That was a nasty thing to say. That's that spirit. That's what John was saying. You have to repent from that. We don't even know it's on us.
Amen.
We don't.
Amen. Psalms 51 and verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God and my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou would not despise.
See that? That's how you get your sins forgiven. Now, you see how he approached God with that? And then he topped it off with the icing on the cake. He said, the sacrifices of God is a broken spirit and a contrite heart.
Amen.
That's how you approach God, with that. Let's look at this a little further. He said, oh God, thou would not despise, right? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job 11 and verse 11.
Amen. Job 11 and 11.
Yes, ma'am.
Job chapter 11 and verse 11 reads, for he knoweth vain men. Beginning, for he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it?
See that? He know men is nothing. And he see their wickedness too. He said, but then, don't you think he's going to consider that? Don't you think he's going to consider that?
Amen.
He's going to take into account the man's wickedness. Is he not saying that? Oh, he's going to do it. Read it again.
Job 11 and verse 11. For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it?
It's a no-brainer. That's etched. Ain't no getting around it. So who pride is it you're boasting to saying that he the one that's going to answer? He's the answer. Who you really think you fronting?
For vain man would be wise. Though man be born like a wild ass's colt, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thy hands toward him, if iniquity be in thy hand, put it far away, and let thy wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle.
See that? He said, if thou prepare thine heart, stretch out thy hand. First, you got to prepare your mind. You got to do what? Repent. You got to prepare your mind to approach him. You can't come to him any kind of way. You got to get your head straight. Like I said, he will come and talk to you because he's not unapproachable. But the way you get him to approach you, to sit down and sup with you, is that you got to have that humble and contrite spirit.
Amen.
He ain't going to deal with the proud. You don't hear their proud. You just talking into the air. It's not a God of the proud. Of the proud. There is a God of the proud, and he blessed too. Continue.
Amen. Verse 15. For then shall thou lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than a noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope.
See that? You repented, man. So if you repented, your sins are what?
Forgiven.
In your rear mirror. But you're not repenting again from on the day of work. You're not doing it again and again and again and again. And then saying, Lord, have mercy on me. That's not what this is. That's a whole different conversation. This one here is about, no, I'm not doing it no more. And that's that thing. You, Lord, you forgive me, then you're going to turn around. He forgive you, then you turn around and renege. You're really in trouble because now you didn't put your mouth on it. You put his name on it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I promise I'll do this. And you just have mercy on me. And then you're going to do it again, taking his name further and further into the mud.
Mm.
Not beholding his holiness and his righteousness and his majesty. Not beholding that, because if you did, ain't no way in the world you'd take his name through the mud. When you repent, you like this. Ain't no going back to no nonsense. You done. Continue.
Amen. Verse 18, and thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, for their hope shall be as the giving up of the goat.
See, once again, he said it again, didn't he? He said the wicked ain't going to do what? Escape. Getting away. He said the wicked shall not escape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be as the giving up of the ghost. It's going to be like you dying. I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. This is if you don't repent. This is that if you don't care to repent, or you just wicked, you don't give a rat's nothing about the word of God or what you even been taught of him. You're just going to be disobedient pertaining to that, which is good. So you wicked. He said, I'm going to give you a wicked man's reward, and that's no mercy. We don't want that.
No.
He's not a God of the wicked. Why we keep thinking that? We thinking he's the God of the wicked, that he pardoned wickedness. No, that's a Sunday church mindset. Job 36 and verse 5.
Job 36 and 5?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Job chapter 36 and verse 5 reads, behold, God is mighty and despises not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor.
See that? He ain't preserving the life of the wicked. That's over. Get that nonsense. It's not going to happen. Read on.
Verse 7. He withdrew not his eyes from the righteous.
See that? His eyes is on the righteous, those that's loving on him and staying with him.
Amen.
Read on.
But with kings are they on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters and beholden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work. And their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. For if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them.
See that pride? See that pride? They ain't sorry for their sins. He said, no, they cry not. They're the hypocrites. That's that pride. You see that? Read on.
Amen. Verse 15. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression.
No, you read over 14. Read 13 again.
Okay. Job 36 and verse 13. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. They die in you, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression. 16.
See the difference? You see the proud ended up dead, and you see the poor in the spirit? You see that contrite and humble spirit right there? He said he delivered them. They the ones that get the mercy. You see that?
Amen.
Read on.
Verse 16. Even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place where there
all you had to do is repent. See that? But pride is a beast, Jack. It's a mother. Especially if you rejoice in it and you think you're something and you ain't worth two rats. You ain't even worth a rat's fart. And you got the audacity to act like you think you something. You ain't got nothing to even think that you pass with the nose on your face. Seriously. You're not even a citizen. You're not even free. And have the nerve to be in pride. And you're not even free. The hell you got pride? Who you think you are? You're not even free. Like Nakomi be saying, we trying to live it up in our captivity. What's wrong with you? We trying to party in our punishment. What's wrong with you? That don't make any sense. Read on.
And then verse 16, even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place where there is no straightness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee.
Not a blood can't save. He said the wicked. Now he said this. He said, now look what kicked it off. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. See that?
Mm-hmm. Now, the judgment of the wicked.
Yep. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked, judgment and justice take hold on thee. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke and death. Then a great ransom, so Christ can't save you now. Ain't no, you beyond the redemption of blood. You beyond recovering. He can't save you. Whatever's determined is.
Amen.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't repent, you can find yourself here where you don't get a ransom. You don't get a second chance. You may be out of chances and you just living in on borrowed time.
Mm-hmm.
That may be another thing. You may be out of chances flat out, and you just don't borrow time. It's just a matter. When you least expect it. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 8 and 10, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 10 reads, and so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity.
Wait a minute. So they was among the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
See that? But the Lord called them wicked. He said, I seen them buried and they gone. That's prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling you where they're going to end up. They're going to end up in the second death, and they're going to be gone. That's the day of wrath that he's talking about. Continue.
Verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
Just because, you know, like the first time you committed your sin, the Lord didn't zap your ass, whatever. He didn't punish you immediately on the spot.
Right.
So now you say, oh, wow, I'm going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh. He said, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, he said, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because they don't fear God. They haven't repented. You see that? So they're going further and further into their wickedness. Now you can't return back. Not a ransom can't pay for your sins. See that? Because now he gave them a mind of their sins. They go to works. He said, you're going to end up with seven worse than the first. Now you can't recover. Continue. It's a big thing when you repent, man. If you don't, you can end up with the worst kind of scenario. Read on.
And then Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God.
See that? That's who we're sinning against, God. You're not, you know, you think you hurting God. You should have feared him. Because the lake of fire and the judgment ain't the time of the fear. That's the time to cry. Now is the time to fear. Because he said, who knows? Who want to be cast among the unclean? I never knew you. St. James chapter 5 and 16. 13. St. James 5 and 13. When you receive it, read.
James chapter 5 and verse 13 reads, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another.
Wait a minute. Confess your faults in front of the church.
No.
What?
No.
Okay, so if you confess your fault to me, then my next action is this. Take it to the altar, God, and pray on it, right?
Okay.
Then you leave it there on the altar, God. If you take it off the altar, God, and you give it to somebody else, you didn't gave up. You didn't stole an offering off of the altar.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now you're gonna sit up there, and now the wicked has got the holy. They got in burnt offering. They're not supposed to eat it. That's only for the priest. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to take anything. That's the reason for people to speak to you and pray and ask you to pray for them. It ain't for you to go and put their business in the world.
Amen.
You taking something off the heavens. You taking something off the altar of God. And you giving it to the wicked. Read on. Confess your faults one to another. Why? And you better find somebody mature enough to handle your sins. You confess your faults to somebody that's immature, your sins will be all over Facebook and Snapchat and whatever else, front page of the newspaper. You better confine somebody mature enough, one to another. Read on.
Amen. James 5 and 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are.
And he prayed earnestly that...
That's good. Let's go into Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians 6 and 1, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the meekness, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
You see that? So now he's teaching us how to handle somebody that's repenting. Okay, now we got to consider that. Why? Because if we turn around and start judging that person, the Lord will look at us and judge you and see if you can handle that thing that they failed at. You know, oh, that man got caught up in adultery. Next thing you know, you in the same trial. Do you overcome it? You see that? All because you didn't judge that brother. Instead of taking his confession and putting it on the altar, you decide that you're going to judge him. Right. Now the Lord said, oh, let's see how you handle that sin. Let's see how you handle that devil. Let's see how you handle the spirit of an adulteress. Let's see if you can handle that spirit. That's why you don't want to be judging nobody. The Lord will put you in that spot. You're supposed to be helping them become breaking yokes, not putting yokes on people. So now you're supposed to receive that person. Mm-hmm. If they repent, you're supposed to receive that blessing and leave it on the altar, not spread it around.
Amen.
Read on.
Amen. Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ.
You see that? Read on.
For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Go ahead with that pride. You knock that off. If a man think of himself to be something when he's what?
Nothing.
Then you lying to yourself. Go ahead, whatever. You can, whatever. Say what you want to say about me. That's an easy kill. Go ahead.
But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. And not in another.
Go ahead.
For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught any word in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
See, like he said, the wicked ain't getting away. No. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap that nonsense. It's coming to you. Don't worry about it. The seeds you sow, they're going to grow. Read on.
Amen. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
See that? If you sow into the flesh, you're going to reap death. That's all to it. Read on.
But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen. Read on.
Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we all shall reap if we faint not.
You're not missing nothing. Oh, the reward is coming if you stay on the path. Read on.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Psalms 141 and verse 5.
Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamity.
See that? That's how we're supposed to receive them. You know, now, he said, and in the same Proverbs, man, he said this. He said, a soft word breaketh the bones.
Amen.
So that's what he mean by the righteous smiting them. You ain't got to go all in and say, yeah, you wicked, you doing this, that wicked soul, da 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 da. No, man, you know the truth will set you free, but that truth is going to hurt before it do. Before I cut that big old spike out of your skin, I got to heat it up to pull it out. It's going to hurt. But once you pull it out, here comes the healing process. But if you don't pull it out, you can die with that thing in you. Read on. Let the righteous smite me.
Verse 6. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they should hear my words, for they are sweet.
See that? Let the right, this is how you're supposed to receive them. And this is how they're supposed to see you. You see that? Or that could be you. You know what I mean? And this is who you're looking for to confess your sins to. You're not just giving your sins to any and everybody. You're not just going around telling everybody, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, I sinned against God. No, you talk to somebody mature enough to handle your situation, and you leave it like that. Or if you don't talk to them and they get a hold of them and they start spreading your business around, then that's between them and God. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1.
Amen, Matthew 7 and 1.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 reads, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
See, now there it is. You know, first check yourself. You know, if you can't be checked, then don't worry about it. But don't check nobody if you ain't checking yourself.
Right.
You don't get that right. He said, judge not, at least you be judged. Like he said in Galatians, you know, hey, be careful what you say, at least you be tempted. Right. We got to be careful when people come to us with their confessions. Don't be judging people. You just take it and leave it on the altar. James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4 and 4. When you receive it, read.
Amen. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4 reads, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
See, you're already calling them enemies. If you commit adultery, you're an enemy. You're forsaking your own mercy. So why you even think, you know how he said, I will have mercy on them that love me and keep my commandments? Well, obviously, you're not in that number. Because he said, thou shalt not do what? Commit adultery. So how could you say I'm in the mercy number? Exactly. Read on.
Amen. Verse 5. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain?
In vain. Right. Right. It's not in vain. Read on.
Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
See the mercy? The mercy is those that repent. The humble, contrite spirit, but he resists the pride. Those that sit up there denying their sins, like Esau and like Cain did, denying their sins. See that? Read on.
Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter return to mourning and your joy to heaviness.
See, you better find you some humility. You better find you some poor in spirit. What you laughing about? What you partying about? You in captivity. You trying to get the hell up out of here. Yeah, you and all. Yes, the world you live in is effed up from the flow up. You praying the Father have mercy and take you to the kingdom. Not let you die in a place that he's going to destroy. Because we were found we were found just as dirty as the place that he's coming to destroy. We don't want to be destroyed with this madness and then cry about it. Oh, God, oh, I hate this place. And yeah, we get destroyed with it because we wasn't clean enough to be delivered from. Mm-hmm. Who are we fooling? Read on.
Amen. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law.
Ooh.
But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge.
See that? Amen. See that? Read on.
Verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away.
See that? You think you living, you think you doing something. Your life is nothing before God. Mm. It's a moment in time. Mm. And what you do with that little moment of time will dictate what you're going to do in eternity. Read on.
Verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and to do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Okay. last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 5 and 1, we receive the read.
1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 reads, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife.
We're performing more wickedness under the blood than the strangers doing mm-hmm. in ignorance. See that? Mm-hmm. Read on.
Verse 2, and ye are puffed up and have...
See that pride? Look at that pride. See it? Read on.
And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you.
See, that pride will get you dead. He said, he that done this, committed this sort of fornication, and whatnot, the Lord will take them away. Just like that. Instead of us being sad and mourning and brokenhearted and this, that, and the other, we like, you know, we think tomorrow is promised. Even if you do, even if you think you're getting long life, it don't mean nothing in the end because you're still going to end up in a fire. That's what we read. He said, even if the wicked do live a long life, it's still going to be nothing because our life is nothing before God. It's like a vapor. It's like a moment in time. What's 70 years to eternity? What's that to him? Mm-hmm. Nothing. That's a microsecond. Continue.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 2. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that have done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed.
See that? God already judged that. He said, I ain't even here and I already judged that. Mm-hmm. See that? Read on.
Verse 4. In the name of our Lord.
In the name of God, I judge that. Read on.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, it is. He said this. So you got the power to turn them over to the devil. If they're going to be wicked, let them be wicked. Don't try to save them. Don't try to call them out of it. Don't even pray for them to be delivered. Let them just agree with their spirit and let them die. because their pride ain't going to let you save them anyway. See that? They puffed up. You couldn't save them anyway because they can't receive correction because they're already perfect. That's that pride talking. So it's going to be the pride that kills the wicked.
Mm.
And it's going to be from God, and it's all him. Like he said, who do you think you're hurting? Who do you think you're sinning against? He said, you better be cool, at least you find out that there's no ransom to save you, not even my son's blood. We better be really careful about that.
Amen.
Because the Most High said, when you least expect it. Yeah. He said, I come in an hour where that servant is not even thinking about it. It may be payday, life is all good.
Amen.
You know, you got the biggest check ever. Oh, my goodness. And then, you know, you get hit by a train.
God forbid.
I'm just saying.
Mm-mm.
So with that being said, got to be careful.
Man.
When we repent, you got to know what you're repenting about. And then those of us that are hearing or receiving those that are those of us that's being called to be intercessors at that time, we got to be careful how we handle their prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could find yourself in trouble. And then those of us, after you take their prayers, you better not put your hands on them again.
Amen.
And you better not feed the wicked with them. Right?
Amen.
Okay. All right, so with all of that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bibles.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.